I'd like to welcome everybody today to the B2B Manufacturing Marketing Executive Podcast by R.H. Blake. Today, we are honored to be joined by Beth Coleman of Big Ass Fans. I have been a big fan of Big Ass Fans for many years now, pardon the pun, and so really excited to chat with Beth today. Thank you so much, Beth, for carving out some time out of your schedule.
Thank you, Dan. It's great to be here.
So before we dive into more of the marketing topics that I was hoping to cover, I'd love to learn a little bit more about your background and maybe if you could, just for anybody out there that's maybe not familiar with Big Ass Fans, could you share a little bit about what you guys do?
Yeah, great. So I can say that I am a Kentucky native. That's going to be important in just a second. So I was born and raised in Rockcastle County, Kentucky, sort of southeastern Kentucky. And Big Ass Fans is a brand that I've known through its entire existence because the company started in 1999. So Big Ass Fans, when I was in high school, was this really provocative brand that you were driving in downtown Lexington. And Lexington for me was the big city, right? This is before I traveled, before I worked in any other metropolitan area. And they had a huge billboard downtown that was a picture of a donkey. And it was like zoomed in on the rear end of the donkey. And it said Big Ass Fans. And at the time, I had always thought about going into advertising. And, you know, as a kid driving by this billboard, it was it was funny. It makes you chuckle. We laugh at ourselves all the time. And that's one of the reasons I love working here. But Big Ass Fans actually produces exactly what it says. Big Ass Fans were the industry leader in HVLS fans. That's high volume, low speed. So the most innovative, the best quality engineered fans in the space that you can get. These are some of the safest ways to produce high volume, energy efficient airflow in your space. So we are definitely in the business of making people safer, healthier, more comfortable at work. And I got to tell you, in July, it's nice to work at a place with a lot of fans.
You know, it's interesting in the industrial space, you use the word provocative. Rarely do you see provocative names of brands or maybe of companies. How do you think that's impacted you as a company and maybe as a marketer?
Well, I alluded a little bit to how it affected me as a marketer, but I'll tell you, as a company, it definitely hasn't hurt us because people know what they need in the industrial space to a large extent. They understand, I would say, the core issue. The core issue is I'm hot, or heat stress is a problem in my space. What can I do about that immediate issue? And one of the first things that people think about is fans. So a company like Big Ass Fans is, as a brand, a lot easier to find. So that's one reason why, you know, Dan, we were talking a little bit before we got on the call that you had seen the booth at trade shows, right? And that's an excellent channel that the company has been able to leverage. And that Big Ass brand is one of those things that really stands out to people. And we appreciate the humor in it. We embrace it. We don't make too many ass jokes on a regular basis. I can promise you that, but we're very serious about the product and in love with what we do.
That's awesome. Yeah, it definitely is more memorable than many of the other technologies or brands that are out there when you come across. So I definitely hear you how it could be used as a positive. Right now, kind of from a marketing perspective, you mentioned trade shows as one channel that you're focused on. What are some other channels that you've either focused on or maybe have been especially helpful for you in marketing Big Ass Fans?
Yeah, I can tell you that for Big Ass Fans, my focus is really on the email space. So really being able to leverage our database and connect directly with customers, ensure that those customers that we've had previously or that prospects know who we are and what we sell. And that's not just at a high level, right? These are the solutions that are really specific to your problem. You don't want to sit at your desk and go through your inbox and see, you know, all of these blind emails that are just kind of vague and they don't tell you, well, what are you going to do for me? I want to know specifically, I'm sitting in this warehouse space right now. I'm worried about heat stress in a facility where maybe I can't have overhead fans. Maybe I need directionals. So I need to hear messages and see messages that are about navigating those tight spaces that are appealing to the fact that, hey, maybe I lease my building and I can't make a lot of physical modifications to it. So we do have solutions for those cases. Or why specifically, maybe I've had high volume, low speed fans before and they crashed on the line and I'm terrified of them. We make the safest, most redundant safety features in the industry. And so that's one of our major points of pride and why so many major brands trust us in their industrial spaces today.
That's awesome. You know, regarding the email channel, many times clients will ask us, hey, what is the right frequency of email? You know, you want to find that right balance between not bothering people, but at the same time, being helpful. How do you guys maybe consider that when you're creating these campaigns?
I'll say that I consider it very carefully. That my role didn't always exist at Big Ass Fans. And that's just, I considered another innovation that they saw the need to establish like a dedicated person in the marketing team to really just look at that channel as well, because it does matter. Oftentimes, from a data perspective, you might have people that fall into multiple categories. So how you actually track that and how many times you touch them matters. And as we said, that we want it to be really relevant. So I wouldn't say that there's a hard and fast number, like you don't want to touch people more than, but it starts to affect your algorithm, reputation, sort of with those recipient email inboxes. So basically, if I'm sending out too many emails, Google knows it. Your Hotmail, your Yahoo, they know it and they see that and they start to say, hey, this person's sending out a lot of emails and most people aren't clicking on those emails. Mm-hmm. And that lowers your reputation. And that's how you start to get moved to the promotions folder or maybe the spam folder. Or many people don't even realize you could be sending emails from your business on behalf of your business. And it doesn't even make it as far as the spam filter. There are that many different walls in place with you sending it out and with the recipient inbox being able to receive that content. So in general, I would say that, you know, you want to touch them with the higher value promotions. If it's something that is limited time and is of a particular value to them, you definitely want to know, let them know about it when it starts. You want them to know about the deadline when that finishes. So you're talking maybe 2-3 touches, depending on the length of that campaign. And then you also want to be in consistent communication with them in some way. How are you as a brand providing value in that space? What's your credibility? And for us, that's very much in comfort solutions, facility solutions that deliver on that highly energy efficient airflow and those safety features. So that's an awful lot. I realize I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole there. If you need me to roll back.
No, extremely interesting. And so, and this is, I think, where you're headed with many of those points is it's around analyzing the data. And maybe mm-hmm. seeing kind of what's working and what's not. Could you talk a little bit about that? You know, how are you maybe leveraging the data? You know, what is your perspective there? And then also, what is the, you know, how does maybe the quality of the data impact your decision?
I would definitely say that data hygiene matters a lot and data analysis matters a lot. And that might mean that you have, you know, high level dashboards that just let you know how campaigns are performing. A lot of marketers are used to that. But I'll tell you, especially in the B2B space and having worked, you know, not just in the industrial space, but across other sectors, I can say that it's a problem that people who come from a sales culture tend to accumulate a lot of data, right? You're trying to get as many leads as possible, but how a business looks at that over the long term, that's really a relationship between your marketing team and your CRM team and really kind of understanding and saying, okay, hey, you know, me as the email marketer, for example, I don't necessarily want to send out a ton of promotional emails to folks that we were reaching out to 15 years ago. right? And part of that is also that algorithm piece that I talked about, that because on average, your database turns over about 20% per year. So imagine if you're not going back through and cleaning up that data, or you're not keeping those promotional lists really tight to who you think those conversions and those genuine prospects are, then that means you're going to ruin your email reputation as well. That means that you're going to see some negative impacts from that over time. And a lot of people just don't think about that, because that's just in the industrial space and in the B2B space, just not the way they're trained to think, because we're just trained to think, hey, let's go out and get leads. And that's not wrong. That's still very important. But you have to look at the ecosystem that those leads are being dropped into. And you really have to understand what's the intention when somebody's coming to me and establishing a relationship with my brand, and particularly through the email channel. What am I going to do long term to make sure that, you know, we're not garbage in, garbage out, as it were.
Mm. That's a great point. And that 20% stat, that's astonishing. It really is. I've seen numbers around that. And anytime I just hear or see that, it's just really incredible that really the level of focus and energy marketers need to put into to making sure that you have a consistently clean and accurate contact list.
Mm-hmm.
So on that point, you know, you're focused primarily on the email channel, but I'm guessing when you have a broader marketing initiative, such as maybe a product launch, you know, could you talk a little bit about how that gets integrated? You know, how do you consider the email channel as part of a broader market, maybe product launch, and how are you interacting with the other folks, you know, on the marketing team to make sure that email is a meaningful kind of channel, that you're not bombarding people, but also at the same time you're, you know, driving the value that you're looking to create as part of maybe an example of an initiative like that?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you asked that question, Dan, because it's not just about channel ownership, right? It is, as you allude to, it's integrated marketing. That's what needs to be happening with any campaign, and very particularly a product launch, because working in the industrial space, and especially, you know, in this era where there are so many supply chain constraints and different factors that go into a product launch that can be kind of volatile, there needs to be really tight and consistent communication with the product owner on your side, with the sales team, with the marketing team, with the executive team, kind of on what exactly is going to happen and when. And it's going to have to be dynamic. It's going to have to be flexible. So for me, you know, for example, how that affects email is I tend not to schedule a lot of emails in advance, even though I have that ability, especially when it comes to a product launch. It's often me at my computer and I'm waiting until a very specific moment that I'm going to hit send, and I'm going to hit send to specific groups at specific times. So it's very coordinated. And that for a product launch is a months and months in advance. I mean, it's years for the actual product, right? People just don't know until they get in it. But, you know, when we were launching the most recent Powerfoil FX 4 fan, the latest generation of our truly big fans in the spring, it was very much that, hey, we've got something that we're very excited about. What are we going to tell people? It just in those early conversations, what's most exciting about this product? What is going to be the best feature for our end customers and those specific different customer groups? Who do we not necessarily want to push this to? We want them to know that this is here, but, you know, maybe this isn't the solution for every single one of our customers. So really having that judicious conversation of, yes, we have this wonderful product. Yes, we know that it is hugely relevant and makes an impact. What exactly for me does that mean in terms of building out those contact lists in advance, testing perhaps other content in advance to see sort of how that performs, what different types of messaging might need to go out and get integrated into that. And then also working with our creative team. We're spoiled for riches in terms of big ass fans, let me tell you. I am constantly impressed by our creative services team, our copy team, everybody in digital marketing. Like it's really an amazing team to work with. Just having all that together in sort of a documentation format, in table format, in whatever your product management workflows are that you go through, your different services, your Basecamp, right, Trello, whatever service platform you use, and keeping it in a tight and consistent thread. So understanding who within the company you really need to be talking to, pressing them on the questions, not just from their perspective, because everybody in the company loves it, right? But from the end user and that customer perspective. So and hopefully that answers your question.
Absolutely. And maybe just an additional question around that point. Any best practices that you could point to, you know, as you've implemented many email campaigns, and I guess I'm thinking about best practices from the perspective of maybe how you structure or the cadence, but also to, you know, kind of what you were just referring to is maybe the internal process. Anything that you could point to that you say, you know, you guys have gotten better or kind of over time, and that maybe you could share with others?
Yeah, I mean, I think that coming together as a marketing team and really saying, what's our concept? And being given the space and the freedom to sort of look at and execute those concepts is kind of important. Now, you know, of course, we're beholden to what those structural goals are of that product launch, that campaign. Those are crucial. But we're a fun brand and we try to have fun as much as possible while also adhering to like just a few short words in an email or a tweet, you know, for what are we trying to say to who? And getting that down together and being on the same page together really is a huge benefit, because often you'll get teams that are positioned as a fulfillment agency, right? And once you get shifted to a fulfillment model as a marketer, things start to get a lot more problematic. You might have somebody who's very sold on what that vision and message is, and that might be the perfect vision and message. But then once you shift, you've sort of taken the creativity out of it for folks at that point, right? You've got a very clear vision of exactly what needs to happen. And once the focus is on just executing the pieces and not stepping back to look at how they fit together, how your other campaigns, your other segments are affected, that's where you get into trouble. So I guess I'm biased because I'm a marketer, right? So marketing team a little more freedom. But I don't want to say that. But really being able to have that comfort zone together and to be on the same page together is really encouraging. It's the most motivating thing about the day.
Excellent. Well, Beth, I just wanted to thank you so much again for your time and your perspective. This has been really interesting. Really learned a lot through the conversations with you. And, you know, Big Ass Fans is one of those brands that it really jumps out anytime you mention it to prospects or just to the B2B space in general. So we're honored to have you on.
Thank you. And I'm honored to be here today and honored to work for a company that inspired me to go into marketing.